Welcome to the Media and Earth Podcast. I'm Dan Vadebonker.
And I'm Kenton Larson.
Long time no see, Kenton.
Well, we tried. We tried to record. We did. That was the day Teams was down.
Right.
We found out later, and it kept going. Recording stopped.
Uh-huh.
And then some other times the scheduling didn't work for one of us or both.
Yeah. We've had meetings every Wednesday for the last 2 months straight.
That hammered us.
Nobody wants to hear about our meetings, though, Kenton.
It hammered us in more ways than one.
Oh, whatever.
Hammered us.
Nobody cares. Okay.
It laid us over a desk and spanked us.
Oh, let's not go there. It is. By the way, happy Valentine's Day, Kenton.
Oh, that's what made me think. What else would make me think of that? Thank you. And a happy Valentine's Day to you, too.
Yes.
Compulsory consumption day.
Oh, yeah? Is that what you call it?
Well, you got to buy gifts. You got to buy many gifts. And you should have some on standby just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case the gifts aren't enough, which was the last episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I haven't watched that. I haven't been watching it.
But he was like, he says to Jeff, you give her your wife sunglasses. That's good enough. You return the other gift. If it's not good enough, you pull out that gift to make it good enough.
Oh, there you go.
So you've got two gifts waiting to go. And the only thing that could go wrong is that she sees you with the other gift.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, that's what happens.
So that, of course, has to happen.
Such a good show. Okay, let's talk about, what people really want to hear about, Kenton, I tell you, because this is all the talk in our industry, is what is the future of radio? Because we've had yet another
round. Well, it's not just radio. It's everything.
It is. But the bulk of the news, of course, this happened last week. There was a massive round of layoffs. They keep saying the largest amount in 30 years or something like that. But, I mean, ever is a good way of looking at it. Because did they employ this many people 30 years ago? You know? Like, I don't know. It's just a weird way of looking at it. So 4,800 people laid off. 45 stations sold out of 103 or something. So almost half of the radio stations sold in B.C., Ontario and in Eastern Canada as well. And they are saying, like, there's multiple quotes from multiple stories. I heard a quote that said, it's an industry going in the wrong direction. It's not a money-making industry. They basically are giving up on radio as a business model, saying they cannot make money in radio. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's bigger than radio.
Okay.
But I agree. I mean, Jeff Jarvis was a... City University of New York. It's called Cooney Instructor of Media, and I think he was a journalist before that. And he wrote, his blog is called Buzz Machine, and he wrote a post kind of saying, it's over for news the way we think of news. It's over, and everything that comes by that looks like it's going to save it doesn't happen. And he lists all the things, and he's like, I give up. I don't, and he, you know, like, it's time to close the door on this. And then to rethink it all, like, it's over. We lost, and it's time to just start from scratch is really his point. And radio, I think, is the tip of the iceberg. I think we're gonna see this is, and we appear to have reached a certain tipping point this year, because you got New York Times or Washington Post, Los Angeles Times. I would say, like, I'm getting them mixed up. There's so many.
Right.
Like, there's so much of this happening in the media industry.
Okay.
But, CBC. CBC laying off a bunch of people, too.
Right.
The day after Google says, we're giving you $100 million.
Well, they also,
to the industry.
They also had to defend their bonuses. I saw this, the CBC CEO, like, defending their bonus structure or something, which is bullshit that they even have a bonus structure. But
that went over like a lead balloon.
I bet,
We're letting people go. So you're getting rid of the bonuses this Christmas time?
Another,
let's not go that far. Slow down, Magellan. We have financial obligations we have to pay, my bonus.
That's right. And Bell feels the same way about his shareholders, because Bell is still paying profits to its shareholders among all these layoffs. And I do want to keep it focused on radio for a second, because that is a source of local journalism for a lot of these communities.
Yeah.
So most of these radio stations are regional radio stations, meaning they don't have a large reach, especially in BC, where a lot of the signals are blocked by mountains. So when you're in a valley you have one radio station, maybe two, it's all coming from the same building, that's your source of local news. Now, it is, they're not news talk stations necessarily. They're usually music stations with newscasts. That's usually the format that I've seen. And all of these stations, by the way, it was pointed out to by a mutual friend in radio, were the ones that were formerly owned by Astral Media that Bell bought 10 years ago, I want to say. It was like a while ago. They bought Bell Media to buy, really, it was just for the Virgin Radio brand, so they could have that. Or Bell Media bought Astral to absorb the Virgin Radio brand And then and now they're getting rid of all the other stations they don't want, right?
Yeah.
So they're kind of, but again, these stations still have impact. I would say in smaller communities, radio is more meaningful than in larger cities. So these are all radio stations that probably still have a decent audience, I would say.
But that's how it also went with the internet, where it was like they still had community papers, but then the internet got better and then they didn't have them anymore.
Okay, so you're saying this is going to be like radio will go away?
Things happen. Like, it's sort of like the classic, when I go to Chicago, I go, oh, this is what's going to happen in Winnipeg in 5 years, kind of thing. When you see the industry there,
sure.
And you kind of go, yeah, like it just takes, like we're slower than the U.S. to adopt certain things. But then it's another step going from urban to rural. And I think it's a similar kind of thing where for a long time people were just like, there'll always be print because the internet's shitty in rural communities. And that was true until the internet got better in rural communities. And I think that's technology. That's how technology, it starts in the U.S., it comes to Canada, and then it makes its way into rural communities. Yeah. I think we should expect that at this point. I can't see something that shows up that makes that any different.
So you're saying it is about the evolution of technology. Instead of having radio signals broadcast the news like we have been, we get the news from the internet in whatever form we want to. Now that can still take an audio form, and that's what really gets me, because this is where I get into my experience working for Bell, working for CTV,
And you, before you even do this, you should give disclosure about you're not an employee there anymore, you were not laid off.
Okay, yeah. So it's funny because a few people have said to me over the last week, we got out just in time.
Yeah.
That was the saying. And I'm like, I don't know if I would have been laid off, though, in this round. Like, my position was part-time. It was weekends. Although they do want to cut weekend news. That was something I heard floating around the newsroom. Mm-hmm. The people in head office at CTV were trying to convince the CRTC that they don't have to do weekend news anymore so they can cut those labor costs. That was absolutely something that they were trying to do.
The noon hour news is gone.
The noon hour news is gone.
Goodbye, noon.
And I want to say what that means for our local news team here at CTV, and I want to say that great team. I loved working with them, and I don't want to say anything negative about them. They're all working very hard.
Some of our grads.
And one of them, the one that anchored the new newscast, is now going to go back to her actual job of being an editorial producer, because she's not an anchor. She's been filling in on that for months, I want to say a year or more, on that anchor desk. And she's also been filling in on the 6 and the late and all over the place. And that has been what that station has been for the last year and a half. It's been people filling in. We don't actually have the person to fill this job. So you're going to fill in here. You're going to fill in here. So that's how they've been covering these jobs.
And it also means that the people who watch that lose the news.
Yes, yes. That's true.
It's a middle finger to that audience.
Exactly. You don't matter anymore. Find your news somewhere else is what they're saying.
Right. And maybe none of our news matters anymore. That's the problem with this. Is that it's the ever-eroding concept of how much news do people need?
Yep.
What is the job of different forms of media in that ecosystem? I don't think we've answered that question. And I think as long as you see, the thing that always just rankles me is the stay tuned, and we'll tell you the weather. And it's like, I'm not going to sit there and watch commercials when I have the weather on my phone. Like things like that, where there's something... There's things that we could do here to make this more relevant.
Yes. And certainly in the format of it, like the 6 o'clock news hour, and CTV is clinging to that more than anyone else.
Yeah.
As far as that comeback for the weather stuff.
Yeah.
That is, again, that is only for the only audience that's going to sit through those commercials is a senior audience who have been doing that for decades and they don't mind sitting through the commercials.
It's baked into the habit.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the only people. They're not going to attract new viewers doing that, and they're not attracting any new viewers. There's a lot of things they're doing wrong. I think they're being too restrictive in where they post their content. I was very surprised when I started working there, and they didn't seem to have a local YouTube channel, like a CTV News Winnipeg YouTube channel. Because, and I never heard anybody say this, but the idea, I got the feeling that they weren't allowed to post stuff on YouTube. That it only ever goes to the website. I always got the directive, make sure that we're going to make sure there's a link, make sure we're directing them to the website. It always clicks back to the website. We're after the clicks so they can see our ads. That is the goal. So yeah, there was never any idea of putting content on YouTube. I pitched podcast content at one point. I said you should be basically just podcasting your newscast. Take your 6 o'clock news, just the audio from it, post that on Spotify. People will listen to it. I guarantee you someone will listen to that. someone would love to get their news that way. Someone and do the same thing with the new newscast. If it's costing you too much to do the new newscast the way you're doing it, find out a cheaper way to do it. They still have so many people in that control room in CTV that they, and I know all these people, this is their job and they're unionized and they can't be fired or whatever, but it's like they're not needed. CTV is not like, CTV is the only place that did not have like automatic robot cameras controlled from Toronto, which is what Global and I guarantee CTV and CBC all have. And so they've cut all that staff years ago and CTV is still hanging on to it. So I think part of what the problem is that they're trapped by like their old way of doing things and they can't break out of that somehow. I don't know how or why they can't break out of that.
Well, it's a failure of imagination maybe more than anything. And I shouldn't just say that. It's imagination, sure, but then in the end, a corporate structure is a corporate structure.
Right.
And I was telling my PR class this morning about as slow as you think a corporation can move, it moves even slower. And things like, they're kind of complaining about getting their articles approved from the college marketing department and things like that. And I was like, this is what you're signing up for. The corporate world is that. It's exerting control over things. It's slow to change.
Yep.
Once in a while, every little incremental thing you do is huge in that kind of environment. But you can't, it's very hard. And I mean, even in our own department, it's very hard to say we should do this, this, and the other thing because people are attached to what they now do. Whenever somebody becomes attached and proprietary about the work they do, it becomes 100 times harder to change anything.
Yeah, it's
so
right.
Those guys sitting in the control room that you're talking about, one of the things... give me their name.
No.
One of the things that I remember is the first time I saw Snapchat, I remember thinking, the news is fucked. Just because...
Yeah.
Okay, what's the news? It's old people with static cameras cutting slowly from one talking head to another... sitting around maybe in a couch environment, which is their attempt to try to make it seem more relaxed and things like that. And then you looked at Snapchat and you're like, vibrant, here I am. It's a different form of recording yourself. It's a selfie. It's lots of different things. And so it seemed vibrant, young, exciting. And nobody was going, let me tell you what today's weather is.
No.
It was motion and emotion, which is what TV was always good at.
Right. And I don't think Snapchat was, certainly that was the start of it, but it's really taken full form on TikTok. I think TikTok has done a great job. It's crazy to me what TikTok has become.
Yeah.
But, and I look at organizations like CBC, which I think is doing things right, a lot of things right, because they have the freedom. Let's be honest. CBC has a little more money. They have government funding.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting cuts too, but they have more luxury than, there's certainly more freedom there than at CTV. I can say that.
We also, though, and it's worth pointing out when we're talking CBC, a conservative government wins, which is what everybody's predicting in Canada, but anything can happen. That means cuts for CBC.
Sure, that's right. So that's not stable. That's not stable funding either.
I worked there
when there were cuts. I worked there when it was under the Harper years, and it was pretty late, but it was still like a government job. It still felt like comfortable, like people were like in their jobs. They weren't going to get massive layoffs. What was I going with that? Oh, but yeah, so CBC is doing some cool stuff with TikTok. They're putting out these reports that look like TikToks. They are like first person. They have voiceover text over video kind of stuff going on. They're also posting stuff to YouTube. They're live streaming on TikTok. APTN is also doing an excellent job with the TikTok live streams. They live stream all their newscasts basically on TikTok. Every TV station should be doing this because that's your stream. If your advertising is in there, then the more eyeballs you get on it, the better it is. Who cares if it's on TikTok? Who cares if it's streaming on YouTube? That's what these places can't wrap their heads around, is that these are the gatekeepers now. These are the places where people are going to get their information.
Yeah.
You have to be there. You can't not be there. There's no freaking CTV News Winnipeg TikTok account. I guarantee you that. There are a few CTV TikTok accounts, but they're few and far between because nobody there. And I think it's about culture. It's about company culture. Nobody there feels open to pitch it, to do it, to like everyone there is overworked, I guarantee. Nobody wants to take that on.
Right.
And nobody really knows what to do because they're not thinking about it very much. And so people at CTV are doing a great job, CBC rather, doing a great job. I see a few things here and there for other media outlets. But one thing I'm seeing on TikTok, I'm begrudgingly starting to like it, even though I kind of hated it at first, are the talking head videos, which where you see a guy, you know him, you know the guy. He's got a toque, he's got glasses, his name's Boots on the Ground. He's like, conservative leader Pierre Poilievre in the news today, and he makes a kind of a Stephen Colbert-esque joke, seen here being a goof or whatever. He does that kind of thing. And so basically what he does is he puts commentary on the news. So it's not reporting the news, because he always takes his screenshots from CBC or CTV or a news source, but then he provides commentary, and it's like kind of like the editorial view of it.
It's like the Daily Show.
Kind of, yes. He does talk about real issues, and he does bring up interesting things, and he gets into arguments in the comments and that kind of stuff. But it's interesting, and it does bring my attention to these issues. And then I can go look it up and read more about it if I want to. That's news. That's all news is bringing your attention to the issue. That's live and well on TikTok. That's happening all over the place. So these are what these places should be. They should be absolutely going in on TikTok and all these other platforms, and they're just ignoring it because they're convinced they're still clinging to the cable TV model. Like, you still have to have a cable subscription to unlock content on CTV's website. Like, if you want to watch the morning show, you can't watch that. No, not just anybody. You have to have a cable subscription to watch CTV Morning Live on the website.
I have a cable subscription, and I haven't got the time in the day to figure out how the hell.
It's really bad, too. Yeah, website's
like,
awful.
Like, it's impossible. Like, people don't have time to unlock the magic code or whatever. Nope. Like, I'm not doing it. Nope. It's of all the things I have to do in a day, that's like one of the hardest things to find time to do, because you just, when you sit your ass down on the couch, you'll just watch what's on TV at a certain point. You don't want to have to unlock magical content.
So it should be easy to access. Yes. Every news outlet should have easily accessible content. There should be an audio stream always running that they can click on and listen to. There should be a video stream always running, and there should be articles that they can read. And then podcasted and video versions of those content all over the website. That's what news is now. Those three things are what makes up all this content. And have all your stories reported across all three so people can pick and choose what they want to do. You have to give them flexibility. And by the way, you cannot charge people for any of this. People will not pay for the news. Absolutely not.
No, that ship has sailed.
So how do they make money then? That is the question. So that's because that's what they're saying. There's no money. It's an industry going in the wrong direction.
Jeff Jarvis says close the door. I mean, close the door and put a gone fishing sign up. In the morning, when I'm getting ready, I flip between some news shows on TV. CTV's national news show is like three women sitting on couches who haven't had time to catch up with the news. They're doing it on air. I noticed. It'll be like things like they'll go, "Can you believe that?" Like the outrage machine. It's sort of like The View.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit like The View. And they're like, "Can you believe the snow that they're getting?" And then the weather person's like, I would like to see a count in terms of how much snow they actually got. And the other one's like, yeah, that'd be good to know. It's like, you're the news. Like you're the ones, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's quite a bit of small talk, awkward small talk in the morning.
Yep.
And you can see, like, I start to wonder, who do we need? Do we need these personas? Like, to me, the reason why I like local news, CTV included, Winnipeggers talking about Winnipeg, stop bringing in somebody from Toronto to tell me about Winnipeg.
Yep.
Bring, like, a Winnipegger will do that, and a Winnipegger will know their community. And I also think the things that are most interesting to me are neighborhood things. Like, I don't need CTV local to get into the national politics scene. I would rather find out, like, I saw there was a truck sideswiped by a car in Cordon yesterday carrying another car on its back, and it was like sort of off to the side of the street. It's like, what the hell happened here? That plea moving traffic. It's like the local, like, traffic. Wow. Like, simple.
Okay, but I'll counter that by saying
everybody's got a phone.
Sure. But I don't need to see that across three different platforms in three different ways. That's one frustrating thing I have with the news coverage locally, is that we see, like, all the news outlets cover the exact same stories. Every time the cops put out a news release about a homicide, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I don't need to see that. I don't need to see that repetition, right? So
give me a map of the damn neighborhood. Like, everybody's got a phone.
Right.
Could you not, like, they have their little time in the morning. Like, look, somebody sent us a picture of the sunrise in Gander or whatever.
Hey, people
and you're
love
just
that
like,
shit, man. I'll tell you that the weather photos go over like crazy.
So
I think that would work on TikTok.
Let's
actually
apply this to the entire community and say there's people shooting video and taking photos of news happening in every community all day long, every single day. If I thought that I could upload my video and it would go and it would be part of the community of videos, and you have somebody check it, have somebody make sure, have some AI make sure that nobody's uploading porn or wrecking it, doing some other thing, and do it neighborhood to neighborhood. But I just don't see. Like, I don't.
You're describing Facebook in 2007. That's what you're describing. It's like Facebook used to be.
Right. And then got ruined. Let's get the TV news to 2007, and then let's get it to 2024.
Yeah.
But I mean, okay, remember last year the head of CBC said we're going digital, and everybody lost their mind.
Right, because they're not going to broadcast in radio anymore? Are they still?
Anywhere. They said no TV or radio. We're planning for digital only. And it makes perfect sense because when you look at the demographic, of course, that's what you're planning for. Like, you are not planning a TV future. Our students don't have cable TV. No. Their parents have it, and that's why they have it.
Even their parents don't have it anymore. I think, honestly, cable TV is a baby boomer thing. It's a boomer thing, and lower. Like, I don't know anybody my age in their 40s who has cable TV still. So it's not just a kids thing.
I have it in my 50s because once again,
you're addicted to HBO.
I want HBO, but I also I also realize the value in being able to go to CNN when something's breaking in the world, when something big is happening. I want to be informed. And I noticed I have family, I'm not going to say who, I almost did. I have family members who do not have TV. And it's the classic, like, wow, can you believe, like, Israel dropped all those bombs or whatever it is? And they go, they're like, what? And you go,
because they have no
and
idea.
And you go, like, oh, Christ. And you realize, like, the just absolute vacuum in their minds about not being informed. And I first started noticing this in 2001 when people were like, what? What happened at the World Trade Center? Like, where it was already starting to be where people weren't exactly tracking the news in the way that they had.
Yeah.
And like, fast forward 25 years, and we've just decided, you're right, we don't want to pay for news.
No.
We don't want it. We don't want to pay for it. We don't see the value in it. And as a result, something like, I don't know, we have it beamed to our VR headset that we're walking around to our Apple Vision Pro.
I don't know. It just needs to be where everyone is. So you're still kind of going, like, they're funneling you in because CNN has built a brand around being, like, good with breaking news and stuff. Yep. So you are like, yes, I know that if I turn on CNN, they'll be covering whatever is happening in the world, right? And they built that. I mean, CBC has kind of done the same thing in Canada. And so you could also turn on. And then when you have a cable subscription, you have choice of all of those at once.
Yeah.
So that's what cable brings. It brings immediate choice. But if those news, they don't need cable. Those news agencies made it really easy for you to go to their website or even their app on Roku or smart TV app, because this is where everything's going with TV is apps. Then you would, like, boom, turn it on and it immediately launches. Like, it's just like turning CNN on. You would just put it on your TV.
But you know, they have global news embedded in Amazon Prime.
That's like a sponsorship brand deal that is not going
to
work out.
No, exactly. It's not going to. And I have never...
One good brand partnering up with a bad brand.
I have never clicked on that thing in my life.
Nobody cares about global.
Well, no, exactly. Like, but that's the thing. It's eroded to the point of where the brand doesn't matter anymore. And that's where things get really dicey. Because how are you going to build that brand back up? You never will.
I don't think so. I think we're going to see, we are going to see these brands die.
Yeah,
we are. I think that this is the beginning of the end for CTV, unfortunately. And it's going to take a long time, though, because there's so much infrastructure and there's so many people there. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen as far as, like, maybe some more bailouts. I don't know. That's what everyone's pissed off about, is that they accepted the bailout and they still freaking laid off everybody.
I'm furious. This is a garbage decision by a corporation that should know better.
Like, I've got Jeff Jarvis's article. And once again, it's called Buzz Machine.
Mm-hmm.
His
I'll link to it.
Website. Is it time to give up on old news? And he says, I say this with no joy, no satisfaction of having to try to get newspapers and magazines to change, and much empathy for journalists and others caught working in a dying sector and those who count on them. But the old news industry is gasping for air. I'm not suggesting performing euthanasia on what's left, nor do I dance on the grave. In my time running the Center for Entrepreneurial Journalism, now ending, I've tried to balance support for startups and legacy companies, but I wonder whether it's time to stop throwing good money and effort after bad. One more little paragraph here. The old news industry has failed at adapting to the internet and every one of their would-be saviors, from tablets to paywalls to programmatic ads to consolidation to billionaires, has failed them. Hedge funds have bought up chains and paper, selling everything not bolted down, cutting every possible cost, and taking every penny of cash flow home with them. The one thing the old companies are still investing in is lobbying. And so he's talking about he talked to the Senate last week, and he's got a list of some exceptions about who's found some formulas that are working a little bit. But really, the whole thing about this discussion is, like, I actually remember even in 1994 when the internet was new and I was a new grad, and I remember kind of going like, this seems kind of like old, it already seemed like old media. It already seemed like this was going somewhere. And once again, the failure in imagination was this internet thing is like a fax machine. Like, it's just one side dish kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it ended up being our telephones forever. And by the time it was all free, it was too late. It was all too late. And here we are at another tipping point where, I mean, how many people can be laid off before there just is no news? And that's...
Well, I think there will always be news, and there will always be a need for news. But I think what we're seeing here
is corporations
are failing at this.
Oh my
so
god!
So they can't do this in a corporate form. So I think that it's got to return to grassroots. We got to go back to like Tom Hanks traveling from town to town. Have you seen that movie? It's pretty shitty.
Tom Hanks traveling.
Remember the one where he does the news of the world, and he's like the guy who goes around and tells the news? Have you seen that? It's a really bad movie.
I don't think I have seen that. What's it called? Man,
I think it's on Apple TV. It's called News of the World, and it's like it's a Western. It's in the 1800s. And it's like before news, this is how people share the news. He goes around and he tells like in the town of da da da, and he reads whatever he has.
Is this a movie trying to sell us on old journalism?
I think it was. Yeah, I was kind of excited to see it because I used to read the news on the radio, and I thought this was like, oh, this is the roots of my job. But it's not great anyway. But we do need a return to something like that, some kind of a grassroots, like where it's just going to be one or two people working together to create good journalism. And how are they going to make money at it? They're not at first. They're going to do it because they love it. They're going to do it because it's important. All of the skills can be taught in other places. They can learn it in other places. It's about how they apply the skills in the medium they want to be at. So I've been thinking about a TikTok, like a journalism-focused TikTok account, a news-focused TikTok account. I've been thinking about something like that. I've been turning that around in my head. I might try doing that, something like that, over the summertime to see what it would look like.
See if the algorithm does its magic.
Well, yeah. I mean, talking head videos do well, hey? Like, all you got to do is take a screenshot and then move your head around the screen and say different things, and then you're like golden, right? That's all you do. That's all you do. And I'm not – it's either that or dancing, and I'm not ready to do the dancing yet.
So. Okay, what about this idea too? Because the other thing that's at work here, I think, is we've gone from – a world where it's like, I need to be informed, give me all the news, to people going, the news is depressing and I don't want to see the news. Wow. And I'm actively like, but there's more. We teach in a program that offers journalism, and there's more of that than I've ever heard it before in terms of, I don't want to see that. That's too depressing. I don't want to learn about that. I like when that comes up on the news, I turn the channel.
I think they're lying and they don't know it. And if it bleeds, it leads still is true. Well, still is very much true. People always want to know when there's – you just talked about wanting to know when there's a car accident. People love to know that stuff.
Yes. Well, I want to know that stuff, but have I had enough Trump news? I have. I'm not taking it in anymore. I had enough. Yeah. I'm up to here. And especially on the weekend where, once again, the media does what it does best, which is gives you the same bloody news cycle that you had 4 years ago. And it's like Biden's old. Like the Biden's old story, like, God.
Remember when it was Dole's old, when Dole was running?
That's right. It's always somebody's old.
They're all old.
Trump
isn't spring chicken himself.
They're 3 years apart or something. Like, yeah. it's so ridiculous. Like, so you see stuff like, and that's, by the way, my beloved New York Times doing that. And so, and you do, you get to the point where you're just, I've seen this play before. I can't take it in anymore. I'm just not going to take it in. I'm not going to torture myself.
And you can't turn yourself off. And that is part of the problem as well, is that nobody wants to people can pick and choose where they get their news from. They can pick and choose what they kind of news they want. One of the bad moves that CTV made recently was they decided to – they used to have – I thought this was CRTC requirements because they had a requirement of local content.
Yeah, I thought so too.
A certain amount of hours. I'm sure the CRTC has relaxed some of those rules recently. But – well, they have to have, right, because they got rid of the new newscast. So that's an hour – that's 5 hours a week that's gone. So – there's got to be something.
CRTC didn't even tweet about where are the Super Bowl ads this year. That's like they're, well, no. They just given up.
No, because nobody cares about this. Everyone can watch them on YouTube the next day. Nobody cares anymore.
Including it's so CRTC much, itself.
So not relevant.
Yeah.
Where was I going with that, though? One of the bad moves CTV made, this came down when I was still there, but one of the things they did in an attempt to rejig things was get rid of the 5 o'clock. So they had like a 5 o'clock newscast and then a 6 o'clock newscast. And so that's 2 straight hours of news. And I always felt like the 5 was really filler. Like there's a lot of stuff they don't need in there. Because it's just like community stuff. And it's just like it's medical watch and it's all the senior AIM stuff. And I'm like, it did feel like CRTC mandated we have to do this. So they changed recently. They changed it to be only half an hour of local content, and then from 5:30 to 6 was going to be a national newscast. So it's going to switch from 5:30 to 6 to national, and then at 6 o'clock go back to local, and you get your 6 o'clock news. I thought it was a bad idea because as soon as you get over to the national news, people are going to change the channel because they don't want national news from their local CTV newsroom.
Now that's the signal to.
That's the turn. They don't seem to get that. Nobody wants like an all-in-one place for the news. They want to get certain kinds of news from certain places. They want to kind of build like a stable of different places they can get their news from. People who are really into it want to do this. People who are not will take their news from wherever they get it from, which is, again, why you have to be everywhere so everyone can see you. So, again, they're making all kinds of bad decisions there. And I think that, you know, they're really struggling to create content, to put out a newscast. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is there.
The depressing thing about this is we've been talking about this issue for years.
Yeah.
On our podcast, but then years, the industry has been talking about this for years. I understand why Jeff Jarvis is kind of like, I give up at this point, because it is a very, it's a wild west out there in terms of where we all get content from. Even the streaming services are experiencing, you know, that issue, making money, scaling this thing to make it work.
Yep.
We're all picking and choosing different channels. It's bad for democracy. It's bad for lots of, for all of us agreeing on some kind of common narrative. That doesn't happen anymore. So I understand, I understand the frustration and the sadness. Like I take no pleasure from seeing 4,000 people laid off. It's horrible because they're all people with families who need a job. So the question should be like, what is, I know CBC struggles with this all the time, which is why do we exist? Right? I mean, why do they? Why do they exist? Do we need them? Do we we need the news for? And then how can we get from point A to point B where what we need is what we then can get.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, one thing I don't think a lot of people realize is that you do need journalism for a healthy democracy, right? You do need a journalist to question the leaders and to like hold them accountable and that kind of stuff. And that has like, you can see that working in a lot of different ways and then not working as well in some other places. But that is kind of the main part. So we need journalism for democracy. People still need the news. I still maintain this. People will still want to know what's going on in the world. So that is still a commodity that you can sell.
I don't want you to reveal anything. Were you ever at liberty? Do you know how well the news is doing? And you don't have to give a specific.
Yeah,
number.
It's hard to measure that. They have analytics and everything looking at that. And I would say that, and I remember when the Facebook thing happened. So the big thing that happened when I was there was that the Facebook, of course, cut off the news of their algorithm, so that basically our CTV News Facebook page became useless. It was completely defunct. Afterwards, like there's no activity. Didn't bother posting anymore because what's the point? Because people aren't seeing it. So, and that cut traffic big time. It did. And people were freaked out about it.
Online traffic?
Yeah. Yeah. It was click throughs. It was all these like numbers they were tracking. But I mean, I remember looking at overall numbers and it didn't seem to be that big of a drop, but they were concerned with like click throughs and all this other, like certain types of clicks and certain types of interactions they were worried about. Mm-hmm. So there was that, and that was a big deal. But we kind of like, okay, forget about that. We're just going to focus on the other stuff. And honestly, I never thought, when I was writing articles, I never thought about posting it to social media and what was going to happen to it after that. I was like, done, post, go on to the next one.
Right.
I was never about looking at like what people think of my article or any of that crap, because I do not want to engage in that
crap. I mean, the news, any legitimate news gets hammered by trolls.
Right, exactly. So, and so, racism, all kinds of horrible things. I would say Facebook was a horrible place for the news to exist anyway.
Yeah.
So that's actually a blessing in disguise.
But they're still married to the idea of, to be profitable, they must sell local ads on TV.
Yes.
That's it. That's
It's not just that. It's like a lack of like realizing what they can do with online without like really exploring it, because they're so focused on TV, because they can make the profit margins are so high on TV, I guess. I don't know. But yes, they're very much like that. They can't get they can't sell their local advertising. I think part of the problem is that there's too much advertising out there to begin with. Like, businesses have so many options for advertising.
Yeah.
They can do YouTube, they can do Facebook, they can do any type of online, they can do Spotify themselves. It's not hard to do a Spotify ad. So why do they need radio stations? Why do they need TV stations anymore? They don't. That is the problem here. And so now they can't sell their product, they can't sell their they can get people to look at their newscasts. I know that happens because, like, when there's a tragedy, like when there's something like that crash that killed all those seniors in the summer, last summer, that horrible, horrible tragedy, the website traffic was through the roof.
Yeah.
Because if it bleeds, it leads. And and so that kind of stuff people still want to see. So why can't you sell advertising and why can't you make money off the advertising? I don't understand.
But now you're talking about profiting from human misery.
Well, that's what news does. That's what news does. I'm sorry. That's part of it, right? There's human misery in the news. That is the part of the news. And then if the news has to make money in order to sustain itself, it's got to have some kind of advertising platform that works. And this, whatever they're trying to do, is not working, and they don't know how to change it.
The thing I see the most popping up in my social media feeds is CTV saying, buy ads on TV.
Oh my God.
And so it's kind of ironic that they know I'm going to see the social media ad, but to buy TV ads, but I likely will never see the TV ad that results in that.
Well, there was one point where they were telling us to they would make a little promo, watch the 6 o'clock news on CTV, a little promo, and they do little tease of what the stories are, you know, kind of thing. And we would put that up on our website and put it on the top of the website so people would click on it. And it was like they're at the website, they're on the platform where they can see that, like, all you have to do is put a little link there for them to click on the live stream and they will be watching it. It's one click away. But that thing is, you click on it and it's a video telling them to walk across the room and go to their TV and turn on the TV. That's such wrongheadedness. Such wrong. Like, they don't understand. It's like a fundamental lack of understanding how the internet works.
Even a single click to go to somewhere else on the internet is almost impossible.
Exactly. You better have that thing live streaming in front of them as soon as it pops up.
Yes, you better have it ready.
Although I do hate when ads, like, that's another thing CTV is awful for, is their website. With all their ads, it's very intrusive. They autoplay when you get there. They follow you down the page when you scroll, and the little window follows you to make sure your eye stays with it.
That
they're very horrible. Like, in your face, and they make you watch like 2 30-second ads to get to a good story. Like, it's so bad.
It's just bad.
The advertising is awful. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised by any of it. It sucks. But I do think the industry is going to move more grassroots. It's going to become smaller groups of people creating news, creating content. They're going to find a way to make money through advertising, through sponsorships. They'll find a business that believes in them to fund them.
Man, this is a rough one. I mean, I had a discussion with my PR class this morning. I'll keep this short, but they had to do target Publix for an event that we're planning. And we had a target persona named affluent individuals. And some students used somebody working in the media, a 30-year-old working in the media global. And it was kind of like, you know, like, it takes the wind out of your sails to think of what a 30-year-old's career is going to be like at Global News. And once again, it's not pleasurable to have this discussion, but you have to wonder at this point, what is the future of that?
They're gone. They're already gone at 30. They already moved on to their PR job.
Right. It's not, but that's going to become harder to do too. But as the competition from people laid off, like 4,000 people competing for the same job.
Some of those people will go and do it themselves. Some of those people will try it themselves and try TikTok and stuff like that. I guarantee it.
But how will they monetize that?
They won't at first, right?
Right.
I don't know.
That's the other thing. So. It's tough. That is not the occupation that I would use for an example for affluent people, because it just like the news.
Oh no, not at all. Yeah. You know, that's not even, they don't get paid anything close to what an affluent person would be paid.
Well, somebody who's going to be making donations, which is what we're talking about. It's like, you can't be making donations. If you're living paycheck to paycheck. Right. No. So it's such a tough thing. And you know, I want there to be a solution, but I don't know that there is. What do you think?
I think someone needs to do it and prove that it works. Someone's got to be the first to try something new. None of this stuff is new. Nothing they're doing is new.
And Jeff Jarvis's article.
And everyone's stuck, including radio. I'll go back, bring it all back to radio and see that, like, we had a good discussion about commercial breaks. We listened to actual ad breaks that I record off the radio. The students hate it. They like 3 minutes, 5 minutes of ads. Nobody listens to that. That model is broken.
I play it
morning
for them
radio
live.
Is morning. Oh, yeah. Fuck. It's morning horrible. Radio is broken. Morning radio as a format has they have their loyal listeners that will stay with them until they die, but there's no new listeners coming to morning radio, so that will be gone. I'm going to give that 10 years.
The morning zoo format is still still a thing.
Yeah, that's all gone. Yeah. 10 years. 10 years is what I give that, and I predict that. These companies will shut down. We might just end up with just CBC and a bunch of little independent companies.
So Jeff Jarvis in his article points out the New York Times has had success with the gaming platform of all things. Because they now have Wordle, they have Spelling Bee, they have Tiles, they have Connections. They've got all those games and people love those games. And that is the subscription driver more than the actual news itself.
Well, fine. Get them to subscribe however we want. But nobody's going to pay for the actual news. Nobody's going to pay 27 cents an article. I know people have been, but that is not going to work.
No, that's an inconvenience for not enough money.
Yep.
At
not
all.
Worth it, not value.
On a local level, you're just not going to get enough people for that to be anything. And I saw a journalist online just going like, too bad, everybody. There needs to be a paywall so I get paid. And it's like, that, again, is a failure of imagination where it's like, that's not – maybe there's a different way you can get paid other than inconveniencing people for 27 cents an article.
Yeah.
That's not a salary. And it's definitely not a salary for a group of people.
No. I think that somebody will try something and we will see something happen. But Bell is seemingly, I guess Bell's done. Bell's done with radio. They're going to be out of news too. They're going to get out of it.
Oh, of course
they
are.
And we'll see that. I was surprised. I thought it would be like City TV. I thought would be the first to go because they're kind of the lowest on the ladder. But seems that Bell wants out first. So.
Well, the premier of Vancouver or of BC rather, Vancouver. Of BC called it the crapification of the news, and which made me laugh. But I looked it up and it's a real word.
Yeah,
and it means what you think it means, which is things are getting shitty.
Call it the shitification of news,
and that's what concerns me. We're scaling it down, 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 so the news gets worse and worse. It becomes a thing less that not worth paying for, until there's nothing.
Yeah,
at that point. And so you're right. I think CBC is the last one standing. But once again, I think last year when they said it's going to be all digital, of course it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
Yeah, that'll happen eventually. And the cable companies Bell will fold all its cable. And then I guess it's just Rogers, but those will go as well. So anyway, I got to go to class. I got to wrap things up.
Well, we came up with zero solutions.
Oh, well, we just complained for an hour. I guess
that's good. I love the complaining for an hour. I've missed it over these weeks.
I know, eh? That's going to do it for this episode of the Media Nerds. I'm Dan Vadebonker.
And I'm Kenton Larson. Don't let the door hit you on the ass.